Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Okay, we are live on the air, and our topic is a continuation of last week. Excuse me, can we talk? I love this one because we've all encountered times where we see people, and I did it today. I had to go to the chiropractor. I'll tell you in a minute. That you'll see somebody, and you just feel the need to say something. But I think, in a sense, you have to, you kind of feel your way to see if they're open to what you might say to them. You know how some people will smile or some people will shy away. But anyways, I've got Stars Maya Moon, the lovely Stars Maya Moon, with me tonight as usual. And we'll be here from 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Sometimes we run over, you know, over time, but that's okay. So, Stars Maya Moon, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm excited to be back visiting, continuing this topic because I think it really encompasses a lot of things that maybe on average or your, you know, the average human, the average person doesn't necessarily consider it to fall under this heading, but it does. So I'm hoping to get a chance to point some of that out, and I'm glad to be here, and I welcome everyone. I'm so glad that you're listening to us and that, you know, those of you that are new, I know you'll be hooked. And those of you that have been listening with us for a while, I know I appreciate, and I know Natalie, of course, does too, but I appreciate your loyalty. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really good show last week and a continuation. And I'm Natalie, I mean, you can tell them about calling in where we don't, you know, we're not doing readings, personal readings on the show, but go ahead with your little spiel, Natalie.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell everybody if they would like to call in and interject some information, you know, let us know something that might have happened to you. We don't do readings like Maya said. They're saved for the chat room. But you can certainly call in 347-838-9736, and yours truly will be the one that will answer the call. And if you want to be live on the air, that's fine. But you can always call in and listen, and you can mute your phone. I think you hit one. I think that's what it says in the directions. Yes, you can hit phone, you can hit number one, and then or, you know, I'll talk to you a little bit and find out what's going on with you and probably persuade you in my gentle way to actually talk live on the air. And it's just like talking on the phone. That's what we do. So it's real easy. Maya and I can talk for hours. That's a given.
Yes.
But want me to start with what happened to me today specifically? And I just thought of it when I was introducing what was going on, what we were going to talk about tonight, but I was at the chiropractor because my back hurt a little bit, and Kate, who always does my, you know, she'll always work on my back for me, and I've known them for years, so they basically take me in right away. And I was at the desk, and there was a lady at the desk and another lady next to her. Well, all I had to do was look at this one lady. I knew she was new because she looked a little nervous. And so, you know, I had to fill in some stuff, and when it came time to pay, I was adjusted. Kate adjusted my back and my neck and stuff. I went to pay, and I just was compelled to say something to this lady, and she was smiling at me, so I knew it would be okay. And I said to her, it really isn't fun being new, is it? And she said, no, it's not. I said, but I've got good news for you. Everyone, and there must have been six women in this circle of the office, every one of them have been new at something, even myself. I said, so give yourself 5 or 6 days, and you won't have to ask any more questions. You'll know exactly what to do, and you'll feel so comfortable and so happy. And I said, everybody around here, I've known them for years, it's got to be a wonderful place to work. And she looked at me and she says, oh, thank you for saying that. You know, most people would be irritated because she wasn't moving really fast with what she had to do. She was, you know, she had to know what to charge me and blah, 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 you know. And I could tell she probably thought, well, maybe she's going to yell at me. Oh, gosh, I would never yell at anybody. So I had to do that today. And I just felt the need to say something to her because I knew she felt like she was under the gun. You know, you've got somebody who experienced sitting next to you. And I remember the days that it happened to me. Even at this tennis club, I had to work with this lady, and she had been there for so many years, and she knew everything. But I just sat there and I watched. You know, I stood there because we stood behind a desk and watched, and she explained everything, and I asked questions. And I was only in that job, that position, for probably 4 days, and that's when the owner decided that I should be a director. He said, you're not meant to be behind a desk like that. And I didn't mind it. I loved it because I love people. But I can remember feeling so, I mean, I just hated the feeling of being new. I just hated it. And so whenever I see people like that, I always like to interject to them and say, you know, I was new, and I know what the feeling is like, but I guarantee you it's going to go away. You're going to just be perfect. It's going to all work out. You're going to remember things that you didn't think you were going to remember, but you will. You really will. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're training somebody, I could train somebody easily, so could you, Maya. You have to just know how to treat them and let them know that, make little notes, you know, jot down some little notes that you can kind of look at. Well, how do I do this and how do I do that? And pretty soon you'll throw the notes in the garbage because you won't need it anymore. So anyways, that's my little thing that happened to me today. How interesting is that? Perfect for what we're talking about. But yeah. So what has anything happened to you the last week or so, Maya?
Probably not. Not so much in the last week. I wouldn't say. I've had a lot of experiences, but I also believe that I probably am more open. And of course, as I've matured, you know, that's opened me up as well. But one thing that I wanted to kind of open everyone's minds up to considering is that, you know, and I wanted to go back to the name of the topic. For those of you this may have slipped over your head, the title, Excuse Me, Can We Talk, in there is a little bit of a tribute to Joan Rivers. And whether you like Joan Rivers or not, Joan Rivers was a person that was very outspoken and said her mind. And although she, you know, she has a mixed reputation, you might say, and I'm not saying that I support her or whatever, but I thought it was interesting that I didn't catch that until a little bit later, that she was known for saying, can we talk? She, and the reason why I'm bringing her up is because if you go back to her story, which, because she's such a, what's the word I'm looking for? She had a volatile, may she rest in peace, of course, volatile personality, but she was a person that brought up a lot of emotions, but she was never one, if you read her backstory or you know much about her history in the business, she was never one to sit back and stay quiet. And while that irritated a lot of people, I think that it's a good example. When we're talking about this subject, you know, in our lives personally, it's important that you pay attention when something doesn't feel right, when someone doesn't feel right in your life, or, you know, we need different examples. You go on a job interview and you get a feeling, you know, the energy in the office or something doesn't feel right. You know, you need to not ignore that. But let's take it to a broader sense, because a lot of you might be saying, oh, well, you know, they're experts or they're psychics. Of course, they're going to have experiences. But I believe that every human has had a lot more experiences where they had the opportunity to intervene and make a difference. That is the butterfly effect, cause and effect, chaos theory, whatever you want to use. that could potentially change a person's day and even a person's life. So, for example, how many times have we been, just as an example, let's say that we're in a nightclub, whether you're 25 or you're 70, or maybe you're playing bingo, whatever, have you encountered, and I think probably this tends to be more so with females, just because our gender, our traits are different. How many of us have gone in the bathroom and heard, or maybe even at work, and heard a girl crying or saw a girl upset? And how many times have we taken a moment to go up and say, "Hey, are you okay? Can I help you? Is something wrong?" Or you could even look at it, in today's world, of course, we have to be so careful. So someone's sitting on the side of the road and, you know, their tire is flat. Now, males are a lot more apt to stop. But, you know, setting aside, of course, there's so many dangers today. Unfortunately, I don't think we can be as good Samaritans as we often would like to be. But if you look at it in that view and that perspective, you can see that you probably, everyone can probably say, "Oh, wow, yeah, I remember a time when I saw this young girl sitting by herself, and she just looked so sad, and so, you know, something just told me, just go up to her." And maybe you're a shy person, maybe you're a person that doesn't want to intrude, and you took the steps, and you realize that girl or that young boy, whatever the case may be, you made a difference. And one thing that I wanted to bring up, and this is to honor Stars Priestess Candy now. She runs the chat room, and, of course, Natalie knows a lot more about that. I'm just an expert on the site. I'm not affiliated with the site.
Yeah, you're just an expert. All right.
Of course, I'm the cream of the crop, but no.
Of course you are, yes.
I didn't want to imply that I had any affiliation with ownership. I didn't want it to come across that way. I wanted to make sure that I defined that. But Stars Priestess Candy, she does a lot of, I know she does tons of stuff for Stars and for Natalie as far as advertising and getting the word out. But she also, my understanding is she does a lot of work with women that are in abusive situations and, you know, are in situations that are, you know, like that. So, and also to honor her a little bit, I would say, too, that awareness, we have abuse awareness and then we have child abuse awareness, which goes hand in hand, because usually child abuse is not something that just starts out of nowhere. It's usually a pattern and fairly often comes from. So that's another situation. How many times I'm going to challenge everyone this evening to look at the world differently. And, you know, I'm not saying that you see a bruise on a child and you call the police. I'm not suggesting anything that dramatic. But I'm saying that pay attention. If you see, for example, a woman or maybe it's a male, or you see a child, and, I mean, I think most of us have was that your phone or mine?
No, that was my cell phone. It just made a sound because somebody sent me something.
Yeah,
and I've got it turned down as low as I can without turning it off.
I was like, oh, no, because I've had all kinds of electrical issues and internet problems on my side, and Mercury's not retro, so I can't blame it on that. But I'm going to challenge everybody to think back on times that you intervened. You did an intervention, or you took a moment to say, like Natalie shared with us today, or you said, "Hey, are you okay?" And, you know, even if it didn't go any further than that and the person said, "Yeah, I'm going to be okay," that just noticing, just having someone validate that, "Hey, I'm going through something." And please, if you see something and you suspect something is not right, and especially when it comes to children or animals, something that, if it looks troubling and it bothers you and something doesn't feel right, take action. If you can't take action personally, follow up. Do what you can. It's much better as a parent, and I'm sure Natalie would agree, being a parent, as a parent, I would welcome and prefer, and I could tell a really funny story about that. I would rather someone question something and, you know, in fact, I'm going to tell this story. We used to go camping, and my youngest son, he is 19 and a half, and he was about 6. And we went camping quite a bit on the weekends. We had a camper, and we went camping on, we had a boat, so we would go camping right there where we could pull our boat up almost to the campsite. And we, believe it or not, in addition to dogs, we had a guinea pig. His name was Stuart, and he was part of the family, and he went camping with us. And he loved to frolic in the grass, but a guinea pig, as you know, he could get taken by predators, he could get lost. So we had a small little cage that we used for one of our little dogs or puppies, and we also used for, they call them X-pens, so it's like a gate that you can put in a square, you can put in a circle, and then you can clip, and it was heavy enough to keep Stuart, the guinea pig, from escaping. Well, our son, Billy, would want to go in there and play. And we never thought anything about it. So he would go in there, and then we would shut it. We were all sitting right there with him so that he could play and feed Stuart clover. And Stuart was a very animated guinea pig. He had a very strong personality. Well, people, you know, occasionally would drive by, and we heard people drive by, and we heard them kind of like say, we heard something, and we kind of were like, And then we looked at Billy, and we kind of laughed. We thought, oh, they were probably thinking, well, the park ranger, 10 minutes, came by, and Billy was still sitting in there, and he came up to us right away, and he said, someone just reported that you have a young child, and I died laughing, and I said, yes, and the young child is playing with his guinea pig, and he wasn't really an officer. He was a park officer, but he looked and he about split his pants laughing. And he said, I am so sorry. He said, that has got to be the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I said, you know what? I said, will you please tell those people, whoever they are, that I honor them and bless them for taking the time, because
right.
This could have been very different, and tell them that to come over and say hi and to come and see and meet Stuart the guinea pig, and why our son is sitting in a cage. You know, but that's what it was, our son Billy would go in, because you had to keep it close, so it was the only way. Guinea pigs are really fast, so you couldn't trust that we would be able to catch him. Once he went a hop, and it would be like trying to chase a rabbit. I mean, forget about it. So that's a story where, you know, you can see, hopefully the listeners can get a better idea, too, of what all this encompasses as far as intuition or just a feeling. Now, their feeling was, in this case, wrong, but they did the right thing. They got involved, and I'm so glad that they did. And so later they stopped by, and they were actually females. Their husbands were off fishing or something, but they came by and they got a good laugh. And, of course, everybody got to meet Stuart the guinea pig, and it ended well. But it just goes to show that could have been very different, because, you know, that could have been a situation, and those people could have had it been different. So follow your instincts. You know, the thing about taking the risk, a lot of times we're afraid, you know, well, it's not my business, and it's between them, and, you know, or that's their business. It doesn't have anything to do with us. But you know what? We're all interconnected. We're that's the collective. We're all joined by the light. And whatever your religious beliefs are, or even if you don't have any religious beliefs, whatever your spirituality is, we're connected, we're a part of the divine and the creator, the source, whatever that is. So we all have that that ability. And although we might take a risk in sometimes feeling, you know, or what prompts us to do something, sure, sometimes we're not always going to be 100%. But most of the time when we have that feeling, we really need to act on it, whether it's like what Natalie did today, taking the time to make someone's day a little bit better, or getting involved. And just think, and then, like Natalie, you said, you put yourself in that situation when you were new, you know, and we've all been new at something. We've all had a first day at work. We've all had a first time here. We've all been sick. We've all had to do scary things. So I think if we look at it, how we are so interconnected, and that, you know, I'm just amazed sometimes when I think of the human soul and spirit, and to think that we have this amazing wisdom, our spiritual wisdom, our spiritual guides, angels, whatever term you want to use, it all comes down to the same thing. We have this within us, and it's just, it's there. I mean, it's just like a little button. It's a background noise, and all we need to do is just turn it up just a little bit and act on it. So, you know, it's important that you follow that, especially in your life. If you're getting ready to take a trip somewhere and you just are dragging your heels and you're thinking, something keeps telling me not to go, don't go. You know, we do have to come to a point where, you know, people say, well, how do I know it's not just fear and all that? Well, if you've been dreading something and your fears are illogical, and you're imagining scenarios, then that's the fear of uncertainty or risk. If there's something gnawing at your gut and you can't quite put a finger on it and it doesn't make sense, that's intuition. I mean, I don't know, how would you explain maybe to someone the difference between that true intuitive feeling of connecting with someone or saying something, or versus, you know, just the fear or getting over that feeling of invading someone else's space? And, you know, you might go up to the girl, let's say, crying, that says, you know, get out of here and leave me alone, it's none of your business. Sure, that might happen. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Natalie?
Well, I have never had anybody do that to me because, like you said, you really have to use that sense that you have when you approach somebody that you know is having problems. I would just take the risk. Because I want to help. That's my job. And so if they turn down what I have to say, that's okay. It's back in their court, so to speak. But it's never happened to me ever. And I don't know if it's because of just the way I approach them. But I've done it many times, and I think I told you the story about when I fell in Disney. I don't remember if I did or not, but it's a perfect example of what did not happen for me. I had to go to the ladies' room, and my son and my daughter-in-law, my granddaughter, and my husband then was in the wheelchair because, you know, everybody knows he had Alzheimer's, and so he was with my son, so I said, I have to go to the ladies' room. So my son, yeah, oh, down over there, you know, see those lights? I said, okay, so I started walking down there by myself. It was fine. But what happened is that I wore a fanny pack in front of me because I don't like to carry a purse. And I'm walking, and I'm looking ahead because I see where the light is coming from to the entrance of the facility. And I fell. There was a step that I did not see at all. And I fell forward. And if it wouldn't have been for the fanny pack protecting me, keeping me from the cement, oh, I would have done a number on my face. Do you know, I was there for like, I don't know how many seconds, Maya. You're in shock when you fall. I mean, that's a scary feeling when you fall, because I didn't see it at all, because I wasn't expecting it to be there, because that place is so lit up. And really, I could have caused some trouble there, but I didn't. I let it go. But anyways, there I am looking up. I see people on the bench way in front of me. They saw me. I start to get up, and somebody says, oh, can I help you? And I only mumbled, well, it's a little late now. I'm already up. So I went.
I mean, I was like crushed. I was so emotional about it. I went into the bathroom and just cried. I cried to the fact that nobody offered to help me. If that would have been me watching somebody there or my son, oh, we would have been there in a heartbeat. We would have helped them up. Nobody helped me up. And there were people all around me. And then after the fact, yeah, can I help you? Well, no, not really. I'm already up. But it was mortifying to me. And I remember that so well. And, you know, it was rough on me because of my husband as it was. And so everything was real kind of to the surface. And when I went into the ladies' room there, I looked around. I really didn't see anybody in there. And there wasn't any noise. I mean, I just went into one of the stalls and I just sobbed. And I was so crushed that nobody helped me, not one person. And it didn't stop me ever. And that was back in, that's been about 6 years ago now. It hasn't stopped me from helping people. Never will. And I often wonder about that. Did people just not really see me? Or what did they think? Well, what can we do? She's already fallen. Well, hello, I could have hurt myself. You know?
Well, I have a theory on that.
Okay, what's your theory? Sure.
I think this is why it's a good reminder. And I'm glad you shared that. And I'm sorry that that happened. And it goes back to, first let me preface it by, you know, let me say that I don't believe that it was so much ill-spirited and not caring, is that when someone falls, a lot of times our natural reaction is to laugh, which is just to cover our nervousness and our uncertainty.
Correct. Yes.
The other thing is humans have this side of them when they're not completely in touch and allowing themselves to be led spiritually by, and I don't mean religiously, I mean spiritually, of making projections of how someone else may interpret it. So what I feel occurred is that the people felt embarrassed for you, and their reaction, which their intention was probably honorable, but they chose the wrong path. They were thinking perhaps it was better if they pretended not to notice.
Right, because then it wouldn't give notice to me lying near my face to the cement.
And as we can see by Natalie sharing that story, is even though it's very difficult for me to believe that all those people were that cold-hearted that they just stood there. So probably that's probably, and I see that when people deal with, when we've lost someone, when there's a death after, you know, maybe not necessarily like at a funeral or at a gathering, but shortly after, people, even our close friends, or when we have someone we love that's been diagnosed with a chronic or, you know, something
something
like cancer,
or
a fatal disease, even people that are close to us, they become very awkward. And consequently, we can be very hurt and traumatized because we feel that they've abandoned us. And really what it is they're so afraid of making a mistake. So the moral of this story is make a mistake, because chances are, the chances of you making an error in helping someone get up and you know, validating, or obviously you're like, yes, I did see you fall, you're probably going to be more appreciated for doing that than you are for trying to pretend, you know, you're just reading your newspaper. No, I didn't see that lady just flat on the floor. And even if your initial reaction is to laugh, unsure if the person is hurt, you know, that we laugh when we're nervous and we're uncertain.
Yeah.
So
I didn't hear anybody laughing. But what really bothered me, too, is that once I got up, nobody came to me and said, can I call somebody for you?
Are you okay? Did you hurt yourself?
Yeah, one man said, are you okay? And that's when I mumbled something, because as I was getting up. But you first of all, the person that falls feels totally stupid because how I missed that. So I right away came out and I sat on that dumb curb, and I called my son right away. Well, I just said, you know, Louis, I fell. I'm down at the ladies' room. You know, I got up. I'm okay. But he could hear in my voice, I could see him running through the crowd.
Right, right.
To me. And he came to me and he said, well, didn't somebody help you? I said, no. He said, what? I said, no. So we right away got me some water, you know. He was appalled. But you see, he's like I am, you know, I mean, and I can say that about him because he would have rushed over and said, well, let me help you up. Are you okay? Can I call? That's what I would have done. But it was just one of those moments when you're not expecting something. And yeah, most of them felt, oh my God, we don't want to generate a lot of attention to her because she probably feels pretty dumb.
Right.
I was scared.
And you know, that's why closing ourselves off from the collective and you know, I've been known to say to my clients that we cannot project ourselves emotionally into the future. We cannot project ourselves onto another. We can be empathic, we can be sympathetic, but those people made a judgment based on what they thought Natalie wanted, needed. And they were completely wrong, and they were not willing to risk getting out of their comfort zone. And again, their intentions may have been, you know, in a sense good, but their intentions, they were way off. So it's really much better to move forward when you feel that urge or when you see someone, you know,
right.
Follow that gut. Because most of us, our gut feeling would be, go see if she needs help. Go see if he needs
help. And no woman followed me into the ladies' room to see if I was okay. Nobody. And there were women there. I could see them on the bench when I lifted up my head. I was just, but I let it go. You know, I just wanted to get in there and cry because I was crushed. Like I meant nothing. I was nothing. You know, I don't know how people could do that. And actually what I should have done, they've changed that whole area, is I should have reported it, that you need to have this a lot better lit, because I fell right on my face. There's
mm-hmm.
no way that anybody could know that there was a step, a curb, a huge curb there that you have to step up to. Nobody would have known it. You know, and we went back there, and my son looked, and he said, anybody could have fallen. This is ridiculous. But I let it go, because I'm not one to make a big deal, and you know, I wasn't really that embarrassed. I was more embarrassed for everybody that was there that didn't bother to even attempt to come to me and say, are you okay? You know, is there somebody I can call or let me help you up? Nobody. It was like I was in my own little world. So, but I managed it. I was okay. And I didn't know how I was going to walk out of there. But, I gathered myself together and just thought, well, my main concern was I got to go out and call Louis. And I called him right away after I got out of the ladies' room because he wouldn't have understood me. I was sobbing so hard. And I didn't want him to be upset when he got to me if he saw me crying because he would know right away, well, did somebody offer to help you? See, he would have said it loud. I mean, he would have said it loud. But I just wanted to okay, I'm okay. Nothing's broken, nothing. I just missed my face because of that fanny pack that I had bulging in front of me. So it's just
right.
One of those things, but you see, they were. You're right. You're absolutely right. Maybe some of them didn't. They felt embarrassed for me, and sometimes people, and it happens so fast, they really don't know what to do. And then there are those, like myself and you, and my daughter-in-law and my son, who would be right there, helping them up. We wouldn't even hesitate. And I think, you know, that's you need to get out, like you said, out of your comfort zone. You need to. Forget about that. Just go help that person in need. But there are so many like that out there.
Yes, follow that urge, that immediate urge that says, you know, go to that person's defense, check to see if they're okay, make a notation of what I just saw. Something doesn't feel right. Something is off about this person. I don't like the way this place feels. All of those are that's a gift, a blessing that we're given and we need to pay attention, and we need to obey that. We don't need to clutter that beautiful intention with all kinds of projections and scenarios. And that's what we do. We build this whole big story, and we end up missing this opportunity to connect with the human being on a very, you know, just a level of love and humanity and caring, whether
right.
it's a lady that's fallen and just needed to be, you know, obviously you were okay, you were not seriously injured.
No.
But the
yep.
emotional impact, I mean,
oh, yeah, it was tremendous.
You know, story tells us that, you know, the emotional impact for you, worse than the fall, was the fact that you felt you were invisible amongst a crowd. And
right. that's exactly.
just
that's what really hurt me. That hurt me for all of them, you know, and it was like I was talking to God, like, how could these people do this? How could they not come forth and offer to help me? How?
Right.
We do it all the time. I tell you stories about myself, what I do. I don't hesitate. And I don't know, maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's just the way we are. It, you know, our intent is so good, and the better of everybody, the betterment of everyone, that we don't see a reaction that would be negative from it. It would have been just positive. And I also fell on a chestnut once right after my husband passed away in Kroger. My granddaughter was with me. My son was further up, and I fell, and I fell in the right way. I don't think I fell in the right way. I know what happened. I was helped so that I didn't fall and hurt myself. And a lady and a man came up and said, well, are you okay? Can we help you? And I just said to Jada, go get your dad. And she was helping me. She said, oh, no. She says, I've got Grammy. I'm okay. I can do it. And a little kid couldn't even do it. I mean, this was quite a few years ago, 4 years ago, four and a half years ago. And she did it. So that tells I just told myself something about my own granddaughter who will be the same way. She'll be the same,
right.
but sometimes it's because of what you see in the people that you're with, like your mother, your father, your Grammy. You see what they do, and it's part of you. You know that that's what you do. I don't know, but then I let it go. You know, my son walked me back to where everybody was, and I didn't have a scrape. I didn't have nothing. It was like I was helped when I fell. Same thing in the grocery store was the same thing. I could have broke my arm. And, of course, the manager, the one guy in the produce, he said, let me go get the manager right away. He said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm walking. Everything's moving. Nothing's hurting. And I did see the manager in the store right away. He said, I can write up something for you if you want. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm really fine. And I'll tell you something. I don't even know how I escaped that one because that was cement I was falling on. And I fell from standing up because my shoe just, I had a sandal on. My sandals just caught the edge of that chestnut. And, you know, in grocery stores, they're so careful about things on the floor. And so from that moment on, every time I went there, I still do it. I look at the floor. And I watch. If there's lettuce there, somebody could really get hurt, fall back and hit their head. Oh, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. Uh-uh. No. But this tells you about people and their comfort level, and you know, it's just like, excuse me, can we talk? Can I help you? You know, it's the same thing. You have to, but some people just can't do that, Maya, I don't think. Do you? I mean, maybe they're just not, are they not raised that way? Do they not understand? I don't know. I really don't know, because that's not, I've never been exposed to that, even as a little girl. I never saw, oh, you know what, as a little girl, what I did? I did do it. In church one day, my good friend, her grandmother, no, it wasn't her grandmother, it was an older lady. Her aunt was behind me, and I was in front in the pew, and a lady fell. I was the first one out of my seat, and I must have been about, oh, let me think, 14, 15? I helped that lady up in church. Nobody else did. Shame on them. She should have had 10 people coming at her to
right.
help her. You know, these people that are supposed to be so, you know,
with God, in touch with God and everything, and I'm sure God was looking and thinking, yep, there she is. Yep, that's my girl. And the lady was really big. I don't think I could have lifted her up if I wanted to. But she grabbed a hold of the end of the pew, so between her and I, we got her back up again. So I guess that's just what I'm supposed to do. Even when as a young girl, I was doing it, that I think about it. Isn't that something?
Right. Well, I mean, you don't stop to think of how people will take you. You stop to think about how you are wanting to help people. And too many of us in today's society, I mean, part of it is the collective because, you know, we are, just as we're joined to the collective in unity and light and love, we're also joined to the collective and that which the collective sets as the standard, which goes through the media. We're all programmed to a certain point. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't break free of that programming, but we are very conditioned and programmed, especially in the Western culture here, like the U.S. and Canada and some of the other, you know, countries. We're very programmed to certain things. And one thing that's gotten, that we've taken, I think, to a limit or to over the top is, you know, our right to privacy. Yes, we have a right to privacy, but most of us, as humans, just on a human level, we want someone to notice our pain or our suffering or that something is wrong. And the other thing that take into consideration is that whenever we're amongst a group of people, whether they're complete strangers, their friends or their family, there is an energy of that, there's a mass that's created and there's an energy in that mass. And generally what we'll find, like, example, seeing a play or seeing a production or a musician on the street or whatever the case may be, you'll notice that one or two people, if they stand and to give a standing ovation, the rest of the crowd will follow. And the same goes for, like, helping someone up. If my bet would be, if one person out of the group that was clustered around there in the area, walking, sitting, whatever, if one would have rushed to your side, the rest of the group would have followed. Now, they've done a lot of tests involved, you know. Now, some of these are shows that are doing it to, I think one of them is What Would You Do? And some of them are just doing it just as a shock and awe factor. But some of these are actually psychological and sociological studies. And, of course, that's my forte aside from my spirituality, where they did studies about busy places. And I'm not condemning any of these areas. I grew up, I spent many years in Chicago, and I love the city of Chicago. But they were done on big Chicago, L.A., New York, Boston, all these main places. And they would enact a scenario. And you would be surprised in different situations how many people, for example, a man seemingly passed out, people making the assumption that, you know, he was drunk or he was on drugs and therefore no one stepped to help. And one of the things that the studies always compiled, always seemed to come up with, is that there's some type of following, there's some type of, even though they don't call it spiritual energy, of course, they have other fancy terms for it. But when one person, one or two people break free, so to speak, and follow their humanity and go forward to say, well, what if, I mean, there's, if you read the papers or you watch the news, you'll find stories interspersed with all this other nonsense that, you know, human interest type stories that'll talk about, you know, the man in the street that people walked past for half an hour and then finally somebody stopped, drew a crowd to find out he was a diabetic and had gone into a diabetic coma. He was not an addict. And so that's why don't presume, don't make assumptions. And if you are going to assume from a place of light and love, because if you do that, if you follow that, you will risk it. And I can't guarantee that someone won't say, hey, none of your business, thanks but no thanks, but you will, at the end of the day, feel good about yourself that you did something. And if you don't, and you were to wake up the next day and find out that that woman sitting alone that looked terrified, or that child that gave you a look that you didn't follow up on, or whatever the case may be, or the man slumped over on the streets of New York, you read the paper the next day only to find out that person was a victim of some horrendous crime, that'll haunt you for the rest of your life.
It will.
You were there. And remember that just the sociology teaches us about the social part of us and the collective. And I always refer to animals. My guides do as well. Animals are exceptional examples of the roles of society, because that's how they interact and that's how they react. So if one barks and becomes distressed, the rest of the pack will follow. Now, if you have one that's not capable of leadership, the other ones will dominate that one, and they will not allow them to take the leadership position because energy tells them that they're not prepared. So they interact on a sociological level, and human beings do too. So be that person, be that first person to jump up and say, you know, oh, the heck with it. Is she okay? Is he okay? Do you need help? Again, obviously, you know, if you're a female and you're driving down the highway and you notice a man and his family stranded, I would not recommend that you stop and you exit your vehicle. However, you can pull way ahead off the highway and you can dial the police or the county or whatever, you know, whatever, if you're in another country, whatever your system is, you can call and say, hey, there's a stranded vehicle. It looks like the family needs help. You know, I'm a woman traveling alone, so just in case. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe that family is destitute and you just save them. Who knows where they were going? On the other hand, who knows what other story could be lurking within that story? And you may have very well indeed. I know a lot of stories from people who literally have saved someone's life. You know, I grew up just for some FYI for your information. I grew up at the time that my ADD is going to kick in, and my I have some timers where I can't remember. The man, John Wayne Gacy. I went to high school in Des Plaines, Illinois. That's where John Wayne Gacy was from. He lived not very far from me, and went to high school. Yes, one of his last victims, just before he was finally caught and arrested, one of the victims that originally went missing but got free and was able to give a description, because John Wayne Gacy would go through the neighborhood. Now, he went for young men, so we were fairly safe being young girls. But back in that day, hitchhiking was a mode of travel. People, males and females, hitchhiked all the time and didn't think a thing about it. In today's world, you don't see that. You don't see hitchhiking like you did back then. But, yes, and they came around with flyers, and the young man speaking of animals and the pack mentality and the teenage mentality too, I should mention. They have to intervene, my dogs, to make sure that if it's friend or foe. But anyways, yes. And so they had come around with posters, and I knew the young man. I didn't know him well. He was not a friend, but I knew him, and they had come around with posters, and it was shortly thereafter. Now, I did not know John Wayne Gacy, but the story broke in part due to this young man that I was a junior, I believe, and he was a year younger than me, a sophomore, and was the same grade as my brother. So, yes. So that's a time when a few people came forward because they noticed something suspicious. And that eventually led to the arrest of one of the most notorious sexual predators and murderers in our time.
Oh, yeah.
So it just goes to show that whether you're helping a woman like Natalie or a young lady up that's fallen, or you're asking someone who seems upset or lost if they're okay, or you're pulling over and you're making a phone call on behalf of what appears to be a struggle or a family in need, you never know what the outcome is going to be. And when it comes to your own life and your own self, you certainly need to abide by that feeling. If it doesn't feel right, it's because it's not right. Stop trying to deny it. Stop trying to ignore it. Don't talk yourself into something. Follow your gut instinct. I mean, I just can't stress that enough. I rarely have people come to me and say, oh, I had such a strong instinct and I followed it and I'm so sorry I did. I couldn't even tell you when that's ever occurred, but I can tell you numerous times that someone has come to me and said, I had a feeling, I knew I shouldn't have fill in the blank, and I did. And now look what's happened. So those are just some stories. I mean, I've had some, you know, when we talk about all these different, yes, I've had a lot of experiences where I've been drawn to a person. You know, I shared the one about the man with the health issues who had just come from the doctor and had that moment when he left the doctor, he said, no, I'm not going to do any of that. And I do believe that. I blew his mind, and I don't take
right.
any credit for that. That was something given to me. That I was just a vessel or a messenger, so I'm taking no credit whatsoever. And I've had a lot of various experiences. But for many of us, we don't understand these. And so, fear is always based upon uncertainty and doubt. So go ahead, face your uncertainties, face your doubts, face your fears, follow your gut. No matter what the situation is, you'll be glad that you did, and you'll be a better person for it. And you never know when you're not going to be the one that slipped and fallen or that's sitting on the side of the road and you realize
yep.
yourself is dead. I mean, think back, folks, when I was a teenager, when I was a young lady, so, well, I'm 57, but I always like to add a year. I guess that it makes it easier every year when I turn that age. I've been doing that for about 10 years now. So when I do turn 50, I'll be like, no, I've already been 58 for like a year now. So, it's never I talk about justifying, but that serves my greater good and it doesn't cause any harm. So, and that's something you can always remember. First, do no harm, and can this serve the greater good? And how
that's
can
right.
a person not, like Natalie and her son, always being aware of their surroundings? Be aware of people. Make that connection. And, you know, don't look away. Maybe the elderly woman that can't reach the top shelf, maybe she's embarrassed. Maybe she's thinking, gosh, I remember 10, 15 years ago when I could reach up with no problem.
Right.
But so she will be happier that she got that assistance. And you don't have
and
to
I
be.
And I told the story of doing that. I've done that before many times. I got my son to do it because I couldn't reach up as high as her. And she was just so happy. She just felt, she. And I kept following her in the store, basically, because I knew she was going to need more help. But I was always behind her, you know. But I think some people, Maya, are just meant to do what we do. And then there are others that just walk by. They don't pay any attention. They're so caught up in their own lives. But I've always been like that. Like I told you the story in the church. So I just thought of that. I'm sure I've done other things where I had to help people and assist them. And it makes you feel good, and you walk away because you've done something for someone. Maybe you didn't even know them, but
but yet you help them in a way, and you might not even know their name. You might not ever see them again. But I like to think that the divine keeps a book on everybody, and there's pluses and minuses. And I just say to everyone, you better have a lot of pluses up there. You better have a lot of pluses on the piece of paper. I know I do. So, and
well,
I don't worry about it.
Right. And then we never know. Yes. And you never know when, you know, you're going to be that person on the other end that a kind word or a gesture, or even if you're not willing to discuss, you're having a bad day, you just can't, you know, whatever the case is, whatever your personal drama is, even if you're not ready to discuss it, just a pat on the shoulder and someone taking a moment to say, hey, are you okay? It's okay
exactly.
If you're not ready to discuss it, but just to meet their eyes and say, I'm going to be okay. And thank you for, I mean, you never know when you might be that person. And sometimes that little bit of encouragement of just saying, I acknowledge that you are dealing with something and I know this is a rough day. And, you know, try not to, I always encourage people, try not to, I think it's a society we are just so quick to make these judgments and perceptions about, well, what if they think this and what if they think that? Stop worrying about that and just do what comes naturally, because chances are you will make a wiser and more loving decision from the right place in your heart rather than worrying about how it'll be taking. If it's taking as being intrusive, they'll be sure to let you know, thanks, but I'm doing fine. And then you can dismiss yourself gracefully. If you offer a hand for someone to get up and they refuse that hand, then you can say, okay, well, and walk. No harm, no foul. It's always
right.
Better to reach out in kindness and to pay attention and to be connected, because those people that deliberately disconnect and blind themselves and walk through life, you know, like how the race horses, they put the blinders on so they can only see whatever the rabbit is, or, you know, they can only see straight ahead. Dogs, I'm getting that mixed up. Horses don't chase rabbits. For all you know.
Well, they probably could.
I've had horses, and no, they might chase a carrot, but they don't really
yeah.
chase.
They don't waste their time on the little things running around the ground.
Yeah. We're teaching our horses to chase rabbits, and they're all running for them.
Yeah.
Dog racing. Horses run because they love to run, and they love their jockeys. So, but I mean, you know, we can put blinders on, but we're going to miss out on not just opportunities, but so much. And pretty much that's really my closing for the topic. So I really do wish everyone that love in your heart and that ability to be able to look at other people with humanity in your heart and know that that will be repaid, because you never know again when you are going to be that person. You know, I mean, there's just so many scenarios, you know, just so many that can happen. In the store, you forgot your card and you're 10 cents short on something and you're just mortified. And that's happened to me. And somebody said, oh, my goodness, here's 10 cents.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
Thought that they were just willing, you know. So, I mean, it's just those little things that add up, and that grows. Whenever we plant a seed, we can plant a weed or a flower, but when we plant something and we tend it grows. So you have a choice. Plant the seed, do your best, notice other people, keep love in your heart, and follow your instincts and your intuition, because it's there for a reason. It exists. Because it's a divine knowledge and wisdom that we have that is unmatched to our logic and our 2 + 2 and our, you know, oxygen plus hydrogen make whatever it makes. I've never been good with the chemistry tables, but that's a spiritual blessing and gift. And I really hope that you've enjoyed this. I know that I have, and I know we'll have another exciting topic next Monday. So with that, I'll give it over to you, Natalie.
Okay, thank you, Maya Moon. I always enjoy conversing with you, and we laugh, and we actually have a good time on the show, and we hope that everybody else, when they listen, they say, boy, those two really, they can talk, and they, you can tell they really care about each other, and you can, and yeah, remember some of the stories that I've told. I'm sure there's more from me. I know there is. There's one more, but have a good week, and we'll see you next week, and I want to thank Stars Priestess Candy Ranson, of course, because she does a lot of promoting on Facebook and on Twitter for us, and it's really good. It's always a good thing. And Maya Moon, you know how much I love you. So with that, I'm going to say everybody have a nice week. We will see you next Monday at 8 o'clock. Thank you. Bye-bye.